Yes, today it is a privilege for us to observe the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. At the end of her earthly life, of her triumph over death and her glorification in heaven, after the pattern set by her only Son, Jesus Christ. Our Blessed Mother, who in turn wants to bring all of us home. And what we learn from our Blessed Mother is how to be evangelizers, for she desires our help to bring others home. Both Blessed John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI spoke of Mary as the star of evangelization because of the way in which she brings people to Christ. Pope Benedict XVI, reflecting on the meaning of Mary's journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the gospel we just heard, writes, "Mary wants above all to help others to meet Jesus," which brings us to the truest meaning and most genuine purpose of every missionary journey on our way home: to give people the living and personal gospel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When asked the question, "What does the word gospel mean?" most of us would say, "Good news." Well, if that were true, why do we keep the good news hidden? Why do we keep the good news to ourselves? The word gospel in Greek is evangelion. It does mean good news, but it means so much more. It is a message endowed with plenary, complete authority. A message that is not just talk, but reality. The gospel is not just informative speech, but performative speech. Not just the imparting of information, but it's action. The gospel has efficacious power that enters into the world to save and transform, and that is the good news. You see, the gospel is not just mere words, but Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who saves all who receive him. He is the Word who has the power to change your life and mine. The word gospel translated in Hebrew is bashar, which means flesh. You must know the message and carry it to others in the flesh. God's messengers are not merely telling about the history of salvation when they proclaim the good news. Rather, they are an integral part of the work itself, which continues through their efforts. The living Lord, Jesus Christ, is confronting the listeners through the words of his messengers. It is the gospel of the Lord. But is it the gospel, as Saint Elizabeth said, of my Lord? If so, then, why aren't we telling our story? Have we truly entered into it? Or is it because the family thinks Jesus is a lunatic? Whether we realize it or not, every day is a battle between good versus evil. In our first reading from Revelation, the cosmic struggle, the Star Wars of the persecuted church, unfolds in a dramatic tug of war. Who will win? Who will strike the final blow of defeat? In the second reading, Paul is quite emphatic about Jesus striking the final blow to death, the final enemy. The life of our Lord Jesus, the life of the Blessed Mother, and our life are the family story. A battle between Satan and the kingdom of heaven. The battle rages on all around us and within us. Jesus said you have to become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. So with this battle raging on, my mind went to a children's story, The Wizard of Oz, the good overcoming evil. Well, if we only had a brain, if we only had a heart, if we only had the spirit, courage. In The Wizard of Oz, who said, if I only had a brain? Scarecrow. To tell our family story, we need our brain. It holds the intellect of our very soul. Who in The Wizard of Oz said, if I only had a heart? Tin Man. To tell our family story, we need our heart. It holds the memory in our very soul. And who in The Wizard of Oz said, if I only had spirit, courage? The lion. To tell our family story, we need the spirit. Our free will is part of our very soul. Why aren't we telling our story? Because we can only tell what we know, what we believe, and what we choose to unleash. Pope St. John Paul II tells us in the Mission of the Redeemer that the proclamation of the Word of God, which is telling of our family story, has Christian conversion as its aim. Pope Francis tells missionary disciples to have a willingness to rethink our goals. So, all of you childlike out there, in The Wizard of Oz, where did these words come from? I can't make up my mind. I haven't got a brain, only straw. You'd think you didn't have any brains at all. What would you do with a brain if you had one? I have so got brains. Well, why don't you use them? Oh, I wish I could remember. I see, and I will see that you get safely to the wizard now, whether I get a brain or not. Stuff me with a mattress? Ha! How can you talk if you haven't got a brain? I don't know, but some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they? You see, we need not just a brain, but the intellect of our soul to have a willingness to rethink our goals as missionary disciples. Pope Francis continues, the more the mission calls you to go out to the margins of existence, the more closely your heart will be united to Christ's heart, full of mercy and love. Therein lies the secret. What we hear must be channeled through our heart. You who are childlike, are you ready? In The Wizard of Oz, where did these words come from? As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable. But I still want one. Well, a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others. I can faintly hear my heart beating. Now I know I've got a heart because it's breaking. Well, that's getting to the heart of it. For to know him is to love him. Jesus looks into our hearts. It takes a circumcised, believing heart to have a personal and living relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. We need that relationship. We have to believe and become convinced that God is at the heart of it all. Do you love me? Do you really know? Are you convinced how much I really love you? So now, we might have the intellect of our brain and a believing, loving heart. But St. John Paul continues. The second continues. We have to be radical, radically free and radically convinced, radically committed to Jesus, radically committed to his gospel. Remember, they are both in the flesh, and we cannot separate the two. That's when the unleashing of our unselfish free will takes place. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and God is a personal decision. We all know that. And then the continuing of our personal relationship with Jesus becomes the key to evangelization, the key to unleash our free will as evangelizers, and the goal of evangelization. Remember, St. John Paul II said, the proclamation of the Word of God has Christian conversion as its aim. And conversion is a gift of God, a work of the Blessed Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit who opens hearts to believe in Christ and confess Him as Lord. So then, the question is not just who do they say that I am, but who do you say that I am? A liar? A lunatic? A legend? Or Lord? During his life, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? 2,000 years later, we are being asked the same question. This argument for the authenticity of Jesus' divinity has been used by many Christians, but perhaps most notably by C.S. Lewis in his hallmark book, Mere Christianity. He writes, I am trying to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, referring to Jesus. Oh, I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil himself. You must make the choice. C.S. Lewis continues, either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, he is out of his mind. When Jesus returned home and began to preach and to heal, he appeared quite different from the Jesus his relatives had known. Some didn't know what to make of him, because his new way of acting seemed utterly strange. 2,000 years later, the problem remains. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him my Lord and my God. C.S. Lewis concludes, let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. If you believe and are convinced that he is the Lord, give him the blank check. Let him write in the amount. He will for sure. He will write, I want it all. I want all of you because I love you. That's the third luminous mystery, the proclamation of the kingdom, the call to conversion. Repent and believe the good news. Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Ezekiel challenges us, if you tell a sinner and he doesn't listen, it's on him. If you don't tell him, it's on you. This is where it's all at. From the diary of St. Faustina, Jesus challenges us, you have to tell them of my great mercy. If you don't tell them, if you keep silent, you will be accountable for a great number of souls on that day. And the gospel of the Lord continues to challenge us. Remember the miracle of the man who was freed from demons. He was so grateful that he wanted to go along with Jesus. But what did Jesus do? He sends him back home. Jesus gives the man he healed a gentle push. Tell your family what God has done for you, and do it in love and gratitude. It isn't that we don't have love and gratitude. It's that we need to express our love and gratitude in witness to others. It is in the telling and retelling that we come to trust that what we think has happened has really happened. At one of the Jesuit seminaries, the seminarians are told to tell their story to each other over and over again. They would listen to each other over and over and over again, so often that they learned each other's stories from cover to cover, and joked how they should take turns telling each other's stories. The method to the madness of repetition was to return to those seminal moments of grace and mercy in each life, and then let ourselves be affirmed and formed again in gratitude and love. We cannot shy away from proclaiming and unleashing the gospels in our own life or in the lives of others. Once we put on the mind of Christ, the intellect of our souls remembers the family story. Once we put on the heart of Christ, the heart of our souls believes and is convinced of the family story. That's when we put on the Spirit of Christ, and then our spirit is willing to unleash, to tell the family story. Blessed Pope Paul VI said, "Evangelization is the essential mission of the church. It is the proper vocation of the church, her deepest identity. She exists in order to evangelize. And the profound changes of the present day society make it all the more urgent." Pope Francis says, "Evangelization calls for boldness and creativity." And Pope St. John the 23rd told us, "Fear comes only from a lack of faith." Okay, everyone, one more time. In The Wizard of Oz, where did these words come from? "You, my friend, are a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate impression that just because you run away, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom." So, what did he say was being confused with wisdom? Courage. So what makes a king out of a slave? What makes the flag to the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk into the misty mist in the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seven wonder? What makes the dawn come up like thunder? What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What have they got that we ain't got? Courage. It is courage from the Holy Spirit that empowers evangelizers to unleash their story. It is through the Holy Spirit that all is accomplished, and we are all novices. But the Holy Spirit will be present. But woe to me if I don't preach it, rekindle it, recover it, have burning conviction for it, have a passion for it. Archbishop Vigneron of Detroit wrote, "The preaching and unleashing of the gospel is most effectively shared in person-to-person encounters." And remember in Hebrew that the translation of the word gospel is in the flesh. You receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. You receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. The question we have to ask ourselves, have we unleashed the Holy Spirit? You shall be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witness to the end of the earth. That's when we put on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the spirit of Christ. Stir up the graces of the Holy Spirit that you received when hands were laid upon you. The spirit that God has given to us is no cowardly spirit, but rather one that makes us strong and loving and wise. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Your very life is a witness. Watch for the Holy Spirit to open the door. A fellow knight of Columbus, an usher of our parish, was diagnosed with kidney failure. And unbeknownst to me, he ended up in the hospital on dialysis. And after his discharge, I received this email from him. Deacon Randy, one night early in my hospital stay, I was having a terrible time trying to fall asleep. It was around 3 a.m. and my mind was wandering every which way. I was hyperventilating and my mind was racing and I just couldn't sleep. Then, for some reason, you appeared and touched my head and blessed me. A calm set in, and I slept in peace the duration of the night. Don't ask why you. I don't know. But it was an apparition that was much appreciated. Thanks for being there in my corner during my recent medical problems, even in my dreams, or whatever it was. It has made a lasting impression. D.L. This afternoon, we will visit the funeral home to pay our respects for D.L. And we could all say a silent prayer for the repose of his soul. And then there was the phone call to do the vigil service with a homily, as well as the committal service for our apostolate sacristate member, Arlene. Arlene and Jim Murphy came to the apostolate for family consecration during its early years. Their visits, retreats, and communications with Jerry and Gwen Goniker stirred their hearts. They decided that when Jim retired as a marketing director for Procter & Gamble to sell their New Jersey home near the shores and search for an apartment to be able to volunteer for Catholic Family Land. Arlene would drive in each day and write about the saints for its usage on FLTV, the Family Land television network. One day on the way, Arlene had an auto accident while driving down the steep hill at Lover's Lane Highway. Her car even rolled over. Arlene was miraculously protected from the accident, but blood work and other testing revealed that she had two terminal illnesses. PSP, progressive supranuclear palsy, a degenerative disease involving a gradual deterioration and death of specific volumes of the brain. And the other was CML, chronic myelogenous leukemia. The strangest part of it all was that Arlene had five children, had been married nearly 50 years, and never had been sick a day in her life. The diseases progressed from 2006 to 2017. Her last 3 years were on a feeding tube as Arlene's illnesses turned her body into a cocoon that housed her brain, fully aware and coherent, her tender, loving, and believing heart, and her pure, prayerful soul. Her body eventually became a basilica of silence, housing the Lord Jesus Christ in his Holy Spirit. Her witness to the gift of life to her spouse throughout their years of marriage, but most especially during her long suffering, day by day, year after year, became an instrument of evangelization. And as her main caregiver, his faith moved from his head to his heart. Arlene being unable to speak anymore, Jim began to tell her story. They were living witnesses of how the two shall become one. Her story eventually became his story, his personal experience of being clothed with Christ, putting on the mind of Christ, putting on the heart of Christ, and living in the spirit of Christ. Until her passing, Jim spoke and witnessed for her, for her love, for the Lord Jesus and his most blessed mother, for God's gift of life, for the apostolate's works, and promoted and discussed her book, The Light of Love, Hope for Children of Divorce. Sometimes to evangelize, we do not even have to say a word. For it is the Holy Spirit who goes before us and prepares the way. Pope Francis said, an evangelizer must never look like someone who has just come back from a funeral. After her funeral, it was full of the joy of the Lord that Christ had left them through Arlene. Today, Jim continues to witness of their lives, witness for the gift of life, witness for the AFC, and witness for the oneness of the sacrament of marriage, but most of all, witness for the great love and mercy of our Lord and God. With adults and youth of all ages. And before Dorothy returns home, the Scarecrow asks Dorothy, what have you learned? Well, I think that if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any farther than my own backyard. Then, in his goodbye, the cowardly lion said, I never would have found it if it hadn't have been for you. Come, Holy Spirit, come by the means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of your most beloved spouse. Amen.